You know, that was kind of going on. And then in September, nothing to do with the church, but just in about September, October time, I was just sitting one day, and in my heart, I felt a little bit of disquiet about something. You know, nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with that at all, but I just felt like a little bit of, you know, you get that question and you say, Father, what's going on? What are you saying here? And there was a particular situation that I felt like I was being sucked back into, and it was becoming a burden and a challenge. Do you know what I mean? See, we went back to the church. It didn't feel like a burden.
Yeah.
It wasn't a challenge. It was just like, this is the place to be. This is what we should be doing. This is the people we should be with. You know, and there are some things that really frustrate me, and I think nothing to do with me. You know, I'm just here to do what the Father wants to do. But this other situation came up, and I could feel myself being pulled back into something, and I thought I couldn't put my finger on it. But you know what I mean, don't you? Know, I can see people nodding around the room, so I know you know what I mean. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I did something that I don't normally do, and I'm not very good at. I sat down with my journal. I mean, Fiona gets through a notebook in about a week. I get through a notebook in about 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see you nodding, John. Yeah. It's like, you know, my way of journaling is just to sort of process it in my mind as I'm walking around the high street or driving my car. But other people, they process it by writing, and that's fine. But on this occasion, I just knew I needed to sort of sit down with my journal and see what came. Well, I thought it would be about half a page, because that's how I think. And I just started, and I wrote about 4 or 5 pages. And what I began to see was... See, when I came into this revelation of the Father's love, and the experience of being loved, and the experience of Him being a Father to me, it was like I entered a wide open space. And I felt like I was being pulled back away from that wide open space in this particular circumstance, you know? And I thought, I don't want to be pulled back out of this wide open space. I want to live in this wide open space. And there's a beautiful verse in Job. Job 36, verse 16, it says, He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. That's a beautiful verse, isn't it? And I really identify with that, because I knew in my heart I'd been led out of the jaws of distress into a wide open place where there was freedom. You know, like it says there, free from restriction. And many of us have experienced the same thing, haven't we? You know, as we've journeyed with Father, we feel like we've been drawn into a wide open space. And we suddenly, maybe for the first time in our life, we feel like we're free. And we feel like our heart is being set free. Not just we are free now, but we are growing in freedom. And, you know, we're walking further and further away from these jaws of distress into this place of freedom, this wide open space. And that's, you know, as I was reflecting on my journey of the last 15, 16, 17 years, that's what I feel like has happened to me, is that as I have allowed God to be a Father to me, as I've allowed my heart to be loved, that I've lived loved, that so I've begun to experience this wide open space. And I could feel myself being pulled back away from it with this particular situation. And I just felt like the Father was saying, it's so important for us to really protect and guard our freedom. You know, we quote that verse in Proverbs 4, you know, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I felt again that I had to really guard my heart, because that's the source of life. And, you know, I felt like I'd been pulled away and sucked back into something that was beginning to feel very restrictive and limiting. And I thought, you know, I don't want that. And, you know, even just over the last couple of weeks on something connected with this, I've had to draw, you know, clear boundaries and clear lines to say, you know, if I cross that line, I know that my heart will be starting to lose its freedom. You know, if I cross that line, I will feel that I'm being sucked back into this place, the jaws of distress. And, you know, we have to guard our heart, because it is the source, the wellspring of life. And I just, it was just really helpful for me to sit down and just write that all down and realize how easy it is for us to be drawn away from the source of life and the goal of life. It's very, very subtle, it's very easy. And it's not just church-related things or other things. One of the things I just referring to a minute ago was nothing to do with church or ministry. It was a practical job. You know, but yet that practical job suddenly felt like I was being restricted. And I knew I could get out, you know, I knew I didn't have to do it. You know, I knew I could draw lines and say, this is what I feel I need to do. I mean, and so I just as I was thinking about today, it was, you know, I know we're all on a journey. And for all of us, there will be parts of our journey, there will be similarities. You know, there will be things on our journey that are the same, you know, from one person to the next. But mostly, my journey is my journey. And my journey is very different to Dave's journey, which is very different to Sue's journey, which is very different to, you know, all of our journeys. So whilst there are similarities on our journey, whilst we go through similar feelings and similar things, our journeys are very, very individual and unique, because it's my journey. But yet there are common things that we can find across these. And I really hope that today will help us see that what the Father has drawn us into is this wide open space of freedom. And how easy it is for us to lose that place of freedom and be sucked back into something. You see, for us going back to the church, we know, Fiona and I know what we are called to do. And it's like other things that are happening, we are just free to let go and not be involved with. See, when we were there before, we were the leaders, so you kind of have to be involved with everything, don't you? Or you should, well, you think you should be. but now we are free just to say, well, actually, we don't want to go to a house group, or we do want to do this, or whatever. And it's trying to find that wide open space that the Father has given to us. Trying to find the wide open space that is given to you. And how can we live in that? How can we guard our hearts to enjoy that in all its fullness? And so I really just want to kind of open this up for us today, because whilst it's been my journey, I believe it's kind of like it's very familiar to all of us. The context of this verse in Job is very interesting. Job's friends, you know, the great encouragers, one of Job's friends is in this passage, he's telling Job what he thinks God wants to do in his life. And I think that's a pretty good thing, you know. I think he really nails it there. You know, he really catches hold of it and says, this is what the Father wants to do. But as we read the rest of this account of Job's friend, he's basically saying to Job, you know, this is what God wants to do, but you're resisting him and you're living a life of judgment and criticism. And while you live this life of judgment and criticism, you will not enjoy the freedom that God has for you. So he's kind of going down this road with Job and trying to tell Job to stop being judgmental and critical, and when he gets his attitude right, then God will bless him. Well, actually, when we get to the end of the book of Job, what we read is God tells these friends how wrong they were. You know, that how they got Job's response completely wrong, because, you know, God just says to them, you were trying to be helpful, but you missed it. But that's the context of this. And but I think when Job's friend says this to him, he's really captured something of the Father's heart. And for me, on my journey, I see this as you know, I often quote this verse because for me, this is what's happened. You know, in my life, this is what has happened to me. And I want to go on living in the freedom. This is very real to me, that I have been grabbed from the jaws of distress and brought into a wide open space, free from restriction, a place to the comfort of the table. See, I've discovered that place of comfort. And I know many of us here have discovered that place of comfort. You know, his provision for us when we perhaps didn't think we needed it or deserved it. But so this is very real for me. You know, when I look back, this is exactly what has happened to me. And just recently, when I feel like that freedom is being challenged, it's like, oh Father, please keep me in this place of freedom. Keep me in this wide open space. You know, I do not want to go back into the jaws of distress. See, that word distress, it also means anguish, torment, suffering, exhaustion, peril. You know, it's not a nice place to be, is it? And we may not feel that we are in the jaws of distress. We may feel we're in the jaws of distress, but we may just feel exhausted. And, you know, the Father wants to draw us out of that place of exhaustion. He wants to draw us out of that place of suffering. He wants to draw us out of that place of grief. He wants to draw us out of that place of torment and anguish. And because those things, those feelings, those emotions, they are very powerful, aren't they? Yes, grief and mourning and loss and anguish, exhaustion, they are very, very powerful emotions. And they rob us of our life, don't they? You know, we struggle to get up in the morning sometimes. And these are very, very real, powerful things that we struggle with. And yet there's a promise here of God the Father wanting to draw us away from that place of restriction, that place of limitation, which is clearly not a place of freedom. Yeah, the jaws of distress do not speak of freedom to me. They speak of captivity. They speak of pain. They speak of being held against your will. And that's the very place that the Father wants to draw us away from. And it's the place that the enemy wants to keep us. You know, in John 10, verse 10, it says, you know, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. But the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And what the enemy of our hearts wants to do is he wants to keep us in the jaws of distress. And when we wander out, when we are drawn away from the jaws of distress, he wants to suck us back into them. Because he knows if he can hold us in that place, that we will be robbed of all of our life. And he doesn't want us to be robbed of our life. Well, the enemy wants us to be robbed of our life, but God our Father doesn't want us to be robbed of life. He wants us to enjoy life, and life in all its fullness. And we've got an enemy who wants to keep us in a restricted and limited place. And the moment we get out and find a bit of freedom, he wants to try and grab us back. See, that's the biggest weapon he has. Most Christians don't go and commit murder, adultery, bank robberies, and all that sort of things. Most Christians just lose the freedom in their hearts. And when we lose the freedom in our hearts, we become ineffective. And Satan's goal is to grab us and keep us in those jaws of distress. But our Father is drawing us out of that into a place of freedom, a wide open space. See, we're not meant to stay there. That's not our home. Our home is the spacious place free from restriction. So we're drawn out of this place place of distress, this place of anguish. And we read that he is wooing you from the jaws of distress. That word wooing, of course, is a romantic word. It's a tender word. It's a compassionate word. It's not aggressive. You know, God doesn't put a lasso around us and drag us out of the jaws of distress. He just says, come on. You know, Walter, come on. Come out of this place of restriction. You know, Sue, come out of this. He touches our hearts and he draws us with love. We read in Hosea chapter 11 that he draws us with cords of loving kindness. And that's what he does. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't accuse us. He doesn't demand that we come out of that place and live differently. He doesn't give us a set of rules and say, you know, I'm saving you from this terrible place, but you must do this, 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 and this, and this. It says he woos us and he draws us out of that place with tenderness, with intimacy, with gentleness. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, we read that God is like a shepherd who cares for his people like a shepherd, who carries them close to his heart. And that's exactly what the Father wants to do. He wants to come alongside us, pick us up and carry us against his heart like a shepherd carries a lamb. See, this is a very, very gentle, kind, loving way that we are drawn from this prison into this wide open space of life. And I know that's what's happened to me. You know, I know that I've been led into a wide open space. And I was led there by love. And the thing that keeps me there is his loving kindness and his gentleness and his compassion. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and quick in mercy. You see, he draws us with love because he is love. And he knows that our human hearts are vulnerable. You know, he knows the weakness, if you like, of our human heart. He knows how easy it is for us to be pulled back into that place of restriction. And yet, all he wants to do for us is draw us with loving kindness into a place of freedom. And the wonderful thing is, this place of freedom gets even freer. You know, we go on exploring the boundlessness of the freedom that he offers us. You know, we must never think that, oh, thank goodness I'm free from that. You know, I like this place. This is a good place. I'm safe from that. I'm free from that. This is a good place. You know, if we think like that, we will miss the next step, which takes us here. And this step here is a place of even more freedom than this one here. And that's what the Father wants to do with us. He wants to keep taking us further and further into our freedom. I think the thing we do is we spend a lot of time looking back at what we've been set free from. Oh, I'm so glad I've been set free from that. You know, I'm so glad I'm not part of that anymore. I'm so glad that my sins have been forgiven. I'm so glad I've left that behind. You know, we look at what we've been set free from, but we don't actually turn around and look at what we've been set free to enjoy. And I want to encourage us today, instead of looking at what we've been set free from, because that will keep us rooted here, in a free place, in a good place, but looking back, let's turn around and look into the freedom that is ours to enjoy, the inheritance that is ours to live in. You see, I know that the freedom my heart experiences now is greater than it was 5 years ago. And I hope we can all say that. You know, I hope we can all look and say, yes, I know that my heart has been transformed. But I also know that in 5 years' time, I want to be freer than I am today. In 5 years' time, I want to be enjoying a greater depth and experience and revelation of the Father's love than I am now. You know, this wide open space is set before us. And it's big. It's limitless. And I want to explore and go on exploring that wide open space. I don't want to become stuck here and say, what I've got is good. It's way, way better than what I had. I'm happy with what I've got here. You know, I want to go on into that journey. And this is really just a very real reflection of where I've been over the last few months. You know, coming to the place of recognizing that actually this is my story. But how easy it is to get sucked back when things happen. I was with Trevor Galpin, Trevor and Linda last week. We were doing an A school up at Cloverley Hall, and you know, I was talking to Trevor one day and I said, Trevor, I really feel like over the last few years I've been drawn into a wide open space, which I'm enjoying, but I said, there are things that happen that draw me back or that try to draw me back. And he said, you know, that's exactly how I feel. You know, and he said, I haven't had words for it, he said. Where's that verse? He's like, oh, well, come on, Trevor, you know. I didn't go to Spurgeon's, but I know where the verse is. But you know, I think it's the longing of our hearts. And this is why I say there are, you know, our stories all have similarities, but they're all different. And for each of us, what we've been set free from is completely different. You know, the jaws of my distress are different to the jaws of your distress. You know, what I've walked away from is different to what you've walked away from. But each of us can recognize how easy it is to be pulled back and to lose that freedom, to lose that peace, to lose that rest. And yet, you know, the Father is constantly wooing us with cords of love into a wide and wider and open and more open space. You know, and I just want to encourage us today to look forwards, to look into our freedom. And because our freedom that is ahead of us is not only way, way better than the freedom we're experiencing now, the freedom that is ahead of us is incomparable to anything we might look back on. You know, it is the limitless love of our Father. How wide and how deep and how high and how long is his love. And I want to be rooted and grounded in that, not in what I've got now. What I've got now is wonderful. You know, what I've got now is way better than what I had 5 years ago. But I know that my roots have only gone down this much in his love. And they can go down deeper and further. And so, this journey that he's got us on, he's not forcing us, he's not commanding us, but he's drawing us with love. And my encouragement to us today is, can you allow yourself to be drawn by love? We're not drawn by a rule book, we're drawn by love. You know, and whenever we fall away from that, we are starting to fall back into religion. Because religion is about what you do and what you don't do. But he always draws us with love. And he draws us with love into love. And that's I know that's the journey of my heart. And he doesn't give up on us. You know what, those of you who've got kids, they might rebel, they might walk in their own independent ways, they might make decisions that you don't agree with, but you don't reject them, do you? You know, you try to sort of get along, well, this is what we've done, we try to get alongside them and love them and encourage them and try and point them in a way, try to release them into a pathway that will be life to them. You know, the moment, particularly when your kids are grown up, the moment you try and tell them what they should do, you know, they're out the door, aren't they? They're not interested. And that's what the Father wants. He's not telling us what to do, but he's drawing us with cords of love. He's wooing us. It's a very, very romantic, tender word. And the place that he is drawing us to is the comfort of a table laden with choice food. See, how important comfort is. I've discovered over the last couple of years that a comforted heart is a free heart. That when we truly allow ourselves to be comforted, we live freely. One of the things about comfort is we've not received enough of it. You know, you've probably heard me talk about comfort many times, but generally speaking, we don't talk about comfort. But yet it's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. You know, and comfort is really important to the Father. He wants us to be comforted. But we don't talk about it. Even last week on the A School, when Wynette was talking about comfort, she said, you know, how many of you have ever heard someone talk about comfort? And there was like one or two out of 60 people put their hands up. And, you know, we just don't talk about it. We don't allow ourselves to be comforted. We don't allow ourselves to receive the Father's comfort. And what happens when we recognize our need for comfort, or when we're offered comfort, there's such a backlog of things that need comforted, that we need to be comforted for, aren't there? You know, and we can look back over the history of our life and see that we've not been comforted. And it's like, you know, we need to be comforted for this thing that happened 5 years ago, this thing that happened 10 years ago, this thing that happened 30 years ago. And we feel like we're playing catch up all the time. But I've come to see that it is really possible to get to a place where all of those historical things are comforted. What do we do then? Do we stop being comforted? No. We go on being comforted, because then we build up a surplus of comfort in our hearts that causes us to live out of the overflow of comfort. See, most of us have been uncomforted, and therefore our lives are uncomfortable. And so we receive comfort for the backlog, but as we receive comfort just for the sake of receiving comfort, as we build up a surplus of comfort in our hearts, what happens is our life becomes comfortable. Not lying on a comfy sofa with your feet up, but in your heart, you know you found that rest that you've been yearning for. And when we are comforted, our heart is free. See, the story of Cain and Abel, when Cain's killed his brother, God comes to him, and they have that little conversation in Genesis chapter 4. And God says to Cain, he says, because of what you've done, you will become a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. Now, that's a terrible thing, isn't it? You know, a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. It's like no place to call home, no place to belong, no, you know, nothing to call your own. And it's like that constant searching and drivenness to try and find an end to the restlessness. And I think many of us live our lives like that. There's a restlessness inside of us that is never satisfied. See, the word restless means there's always something more you've got to do in order to be loved, valued, accepted, or whatever. And I think, you know, until we come home to the Father, there's a restlessness inside of us. There's something inside of us that says there's always something more I've got to do. But when we come home to the Father, when our hearts are truly comforted, Jesus says we will find rest for our souls. And when we find rest, instead of being restless, when we come to a place of rest, we know there is nothing more we need to do. And to me, it's as we live comforted, as our hearts are comforted, as we live out of the surplus of comfort, that we discover what freedom really is all about. And our hearts become free. And I would encourage you to go on receiving comfort, even if you can't think of anything to be comforted for. Just receive comfort, because it will strengthen your heart. And it will give you the surplus to face tomorrow when you might hit a situation that you'll need to be comforted for. You'll have the comfort in advance rather than trying to get it afterwards. And that's what we've done. We've played catch up. But I believe the Father wants us to have the comfort we need before we need it. And that's what a free heart is. And that's what the promise we have here is, that we are led to a place of comfort. The comfort of your table laden with choice food. You see, it's a place of comfort, it's a place of safety, it's a place that's free from restriction, but it's a place of provision. And that speaks to us of contentment. You know, when we are provided for, we can be content. And there's something beautiful. You know when your heart is content, don't you? There's just that beautiful sense of rest. And it's like, at last. And you can take a deep breath and just go, oh, it is well with my soul. On the way down here this morning, I was listening to that old hymn, "It Is Well, It Is Well With My Soul." You know, that was written out of a time of massive pain and loss and grief. The guy who wrote that lost 4 daughters and a son. He lost his business. He lost his money. He nearly lost his wife in a shipwreck. But he was able to write that song, "With peace like a river, it is well with my soul." See, and that's the place the Father's leading us to, is that we can say, "Ah, it's well with my soul." That place of comfort, that place of provision. See, he is our Father and he will look after us. He wants to look after us. But he's gentle and kind. And if we kind of say, "I can look after myself," he lets us look after ourselves. Because he's not commanding us to do anything. He's not got this lead around us. You know, we have a dog, and sometimes a dog does not walk where you want it to walk. So you have to pull on the lead. You know, God is not like that. He doesn't have us on a lead. He's wooing us gently with love to this place of abundant provision. See, he wants us to come to the place where we can say, "Father, I will trust you. Because his provision for us is better than our provision for ourselves. Isn't it? And he wants us to trust him. He wants us to put our hope in him. Because he is a faithful and good father. He abundantly provides for us. He's got this place. He's got this table of comfort laden. That's generous. With choice food. It's good stuff. Psalm 23 says something very similar, doesn't it? You know, you set before me, in the midst of my enemies, a table laden with good things. You know, I thought about that the other day, and I tried to picture what that looked like in my mind. And in my mind, and it may, you know, in my mind, I had this picture of a valley with the mountains going up either side, and the valley bottom was very green and very fertile, and a lot of life there. There was a river, and you know, it was just a beautiful, beautiful valley. And in my mind's eye, I had a picture of this table laid out with wonderful food, a feast, a banquet in the middle of this valley. But yet, you know, whilst there was this table laid out with a banquet, on the hills all around were the enemy. And I had this picture of the enemy all around this table. And I thought to myself, it takes a lot of guts to sit down at the table and enjoy the meal when the enemy is all around you, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't do that. You know, I would be kind of, I wouldn't be able to enjoy the food if I knew the enemy was there. But that's what Psalm 23 says. That the table is set before us in the midst of our enemies. And it's like our enemies are all around us, but we are invited to sit at this table which is laden with good things, and we're told to enjoy it. And the only way you can do that is you've got to know that someone has got your back. You've got, if you're going to sit down at that table, you've got to know there's someone bigger and stronger than you who is going to deal with the enemy. And not only have you got to know that, but you've got to trust them. Otherwise you couldn't sit at the table and enjoy it. You know, it would be a misery, you know. And there's all this wonderful food laid out, and the Father says, come and enjoy it. And the only way we can enjoy it is when we know that he's got our back. That he is totally, totally protecting us and watching out for us. And that we are safe to sit at that table and enjoy. That's what we're promised here. Is this wonderful table laden with good things, which is a place of comfort for us to live in and for us to enjoy, for us to experience, for us to receive from. But the Father says, if you want to enjoy it fully, you've got to come without any fear. See, I know what I would be like. You know, I'm just being honest. You know, I would be frightened of the enemy that was still there. But the Father says, if you want to enjoy that table, you've got to come without fear. And you've got to trust that I will look after you. Yes. And that's the place the Father is, I believe, he's leading me to. Is a place of trust and dependency that says, Father, I trust you. In the midst of my enemies, I will trust you. I want to enjoy this food. You know, I don't want to be worried about what's going on behind me. I want to sit down at this table, this place of comfort. I want to enjoy all the abundant provision the Father has for me. I want to experience life and life in all its fullness. Who wants to do that? We all do, don't we? But you see, I found as I've just been reflecting, the Father say, to really enjoy it, you've got to let go of your fear. And the fear is always, is God enough? See, that was the original lie in the garden. You know, did God really say? That's what the serpent said, that's what Satan said to the woman. Did God really say? What he's really saying there is God can't be trusted. You know, God didn't really mean what he said. You can't trust him. That's That's the lie that's been sold into the human heart. That's the orphan-hearted ways that we've lived in. You know, God can't be trusted, and if God can't be trusted, then it's all down to you to make it work out okay. You know, you are the answer to your own problems. Whereas I love what Mark Head says. He says, the gospel is not about me being the answer to my own problems. The gospel is about the Father providing the answer to our problems. I thought, when he said that, I thought, yes, that's absolutely right. You know, and if we doubt, you know, fear paralyzes us. And that's, I think fear is the biggest struggle in our lives. And it goes back to that original lie, you know, can God really be trusted? And, you know, what happened in the garden is when they took the fruit, the first thing we read is they were afraid. Fear entered their heart. And it's fear that stops us coming to this table of good things and really being able to receive what the Father wants to give us. We might sort of stand here, but we might look behind us and, you know, grab a little bit and enjoy it. But we're constantly aware of what's going on in the background. And the Father says, no, 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 you can leave that to me. You can sit and enjoy and let me worry. See, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, the more we are rooted and grounded in love, the further we go on into this wide open space, the more his perfect love will drive out the fear in our heart. And the more the fear is driven out of our hearts, the more we'll be able to sit at this table of comfort, this table of provision, and really enjoy everything that the Father wants to give us and do for us. Will our problems go away? No, they won't. Will all of our circumstances instantly change? Probably not. But we will know that we're going through them with him rather than in our own strength. We will know that we're seated in a place where he is our provision, he is our protector. And he will walk through those difficult things with us. In Micah chapter 2 verse 12, it says that we are gathered together like sheep in a sheep pen. And then our king comes before us and he breaks open the sheep pen and he leads us out into the pastures. That's my paraphrase. But see, I think that's what the Father wants to do for us. We've got someone in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who lets us out of our place of restriction and shows us the good pastures and says, go and enjoy the pasture. Explore the field. You know, I'll bring you back in a sheep pen when it's night and when it's dangerous and when you need to be safe, but go and enjoy the place of freedom. One of the translations says, the one who breaks out has broken out before you. And I don't know about you, but I want to break out. You know, I want to break out of a place of restriction and I want to explore life. And it really is a transformation that takes place in our hearts. It's a transformation that takes place because of love. See, we can't make this transformation happen. We respond to his wooing. You know, we respond to his romantic love, drawing us, you know, and wooing us, and inviting us, and involving us. And it's as the eyes of our heart are opened that we can begin to see what's going on, that he really is drawing us into this different place. And, you know, I look back to May 2002, nearly 18 years since I really first came into this experience of being loved and God being a father to me. And I know in my heart that a massive transformation has taken place. Some people would probably want a bigger transformation to take place, but I'm still on the journey. But I know there's a transformation taking place. I know it's been a work of redemption and restoration. It's been a journey into freedom. And in one sense, I'm kind of happy where I am. Because it's a jolly sight better than where I was. But I'm not happy enough with where I am to stay where I am. I'm not content enough with the transformation that's taken place to say, this will do. I want more. See, this wide open, I'm learning to look ahead into the wide open space. And I'm stopping, less often do I look back and say, Father, thank you for what I've been set free from. You know, what I've been set free from is wonderful. You know, I'm so glad I've been set free from it. But I don't want to look at that and say, Father, thank you for what you set me free from. That was terrible and this is wonderful. You know, I want to turn around and say, Father, you've got so much more for me that I want to explore this wide open space which is free from restriction. See, what's freedom? What's freedom? Freedom is our hearts being free and coming home to the Father. It's the Father revealed to us. You know, those of you who have done the Father Heart Ministries A schools, a number of you have done that. You know, on the last evening, we talk about freedom, the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And, you know, sometimes it kind of, the evening degenerates into a wild party. And everybody thinks that's freedom. Well, it's fun. And it's enjoyable. But it's actually not freedom. It's just having fun. And I was in Poland last year, and I felt like the Father gave me a whole different angle to talk about freedom, the subject of freedom on. And I said to the team, I said, tonight's topic is the glorious freedom. And they all went, great, we can have a party. And they were all lining up their disco music and getting their party poppers and going to say, hey, we could get the lights in this the meeting room to flash green, blue, and, you know, a bit like this thing was doing earlier on. You know, I'm kind of saying, hang on, that's not freedom. That's fun. And we all enjoy that. Come on, it's good fun. But I said, freedom is our heart being free. Freedom is the eyes of our heart seeing something that we haven't seen. You know, freedom is the journey that the Father takes us on, that we know that we're freer now than we were then. But we're not satisfied because we want more. You see, freedom is not about what we do or the emotions we go through or the songs we sing or the music we play. Freedom is the state of our hearts. And I said to them last year in Poland, I said we could just sit here for 5 minutes in the presence of our Father, and we could know that our hearts are free. And just when I said that, there was a quietness came over the room, and a peace, and we just sat there for 5 minutes or so, just living and experiencing free hearts. And then after about 10 minutes, someone turned on the music, and we all had a lot of fun, which was fine, and fun, but freedom is deeper than fun. And I don't want us to confuse the two. You know, I want fun. Of course I want fun. I want to enjoy fun. I want to enjoy good things. I want to have a lot of fun. I would like to have more fun than I have. But that doesn't define freedom for me anymore. You know, freedom is my heart being free. Freedom is walking in this wide open space. Freedom is not allowing me to be sucked back into the jaws of distress. And I had a situation this week where I was quite clear with someone. I said, I am not doing that because I know that will suck me back into something. And they kind of looked at me like, what? I said, sorry, but that's it. Because I want my heart to be free. And I want the restless wandering in my heart to stop. You know, I want my heart to come to a place of, I know my heart is more at rest now than it was 18 years ago. But if this is all it is, well, it's okay, but I want more. You know, I want a greater level of rest. I want the restlessness that's still there to stop. I want to know what real freedom is. You know, if you know the Son sets you free, and you will be free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, our freedom is found by looking ahead into this wide open space, not by looking back at what we've been set free from. And maybe for some of us today, we do need to consciously turn around and say, Father, I've been looking back at what I've been set free from, and that's wonderful. I'm so glad you set me free from that, but I want to consciously make a turn around in my heart today and walk into the freedom that you have for me. Because whenever we talk about freedom, we have to talk about what we've been free from and what we are free to be or free to do. The two always go together. And so for me, this is just my reflections, okay, of where I, my journey. But I believe it's a common journey for all of us, that the Father wants to set us free from the jaws of distress or anguish or torment or suffering or grief. And he wants to lead us into a place of glorious freedom, where there is comfort, security, and provision. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul writes, "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affection." You see, the restriction came from within. It came from, you know, inside of their hearts. You know, the Message translation says, I think, you know, something like, "We didn't fence you in, but you fenced yourself in." And, you know, sometimes that's what it's like. We restrict ourselves, we limit ourselves. And what I believe the Father wants to do for us today is to remove that restriction. Whether we've put it there, or whether someone else has put it there, or whether the enemy's put it there. He wants to set us free from the jaws of distress, the place of restriction, of limitation. And he wants to draw us into a wide open space. Just after he said this, Paul has said this in 2 Corinthians 6 about being restricted and limited in our own affections. He says that verse, which of course you know I love, you know, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." And it is as we are fathered by him, as we know that he is a father to us, that we are drawn further and further into this wide open space. And for me, I've been on this journey 18 years, but I feel like I've only just begun. A while ago, a lady contacted me and she said, "I've just seen your website, Mark." And she said, "I wrote a song called A Father to You." And she sent me the song, which I'd like just to play us now, because I really just believe this is the point of the gospel, is that God, our Father, would be a father to us, and that we would be led into a place of freedom.